Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to get there in just a few moments. On Wednesdays, these past few weeks, we've been dealing with the subject of the bread of life and how that the Christian cannot live life here on this earth without the Word of God. That is our comfort. It is our power. It is our ability to be able to overcome the deception and temptations that Satan hurls our way. It's the victory that we are promised when we have the Word. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4 in the temptation of Jesus Christ forever showed us and illustrated to us the power of the Word of God. Whenever Satan tempted that very first one, and that's important, he established where he was going with each of the three temptations. And he said, take these stones. You're hungry. You've been without any measure of food for 40 days. Take these stones and turn them to bread. And the Lord Jesus Christ responded by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And he forever established by example, that our power in this world is not our intellect. Our power in this world is not our wits. Our power in this world is not our ability to be able to solve problems. We find our strength and our sustenance and our power in the Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, which the Word of God is Jesus Christ written. And we cannot, as believers in Christ, think otherwise. There are so many individuals that try to live cleverly. You know, they'll throw out scriptures. And they'll act like they know what they're talking about, and their lives are completely different. They live lives devoid of Christ, yet claiming to be professing Christ. And there's a disconnect there that the religious person doesn't see. The child of God, though, is not disconnected from Christ. We have that permanent connection that cannot be broken, cannot be lost, like my internet signal at home when it starts doing the spiraling thing on TV or the iPad or whatever. It sits there and spins, and you pray that somehow the signal will come back again. That's not how it is. We are in Christ Jesus. But there's responsibilities in Christ Jesus, and one of them is to take the gift of revelation and learn it through the power and understanding and illumination of the Holy Spirit, the gift from God, the one that testifies of Christ, the one who gives light to understand the Word. And with that, I can grasp and understand. And I want to show you tonight from Luke chapter 24 how the Lord Jesus once again gave us an example of using the Word of God to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's so familiar to us, you could probably quote the scripture from memory. But it's important for us to understand why Christ chose to do this interaction the way that He did. It's forever an example for us all. Let's look, please, verse 13 of Luke 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now, what had just happened? Jesus Christ had been crucified and had been buried. At this point, the two disciples don't know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So you can't read in information that they don't have. They can't believe what's happened. They saw the Lord crucified on that cross, His body removed and taken to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and the stone rolled in front of it, and Jesus was buried there. That's all they have for information. And they're talking back and forth about that subject, and Jesus appears to them, but He doesn't reveal Himself. I don't know how He did that. How did He cover the wounds? the wounds on his head, his hands. Those would have been visible except for the fact that he blurred their ability to understand who he was. So, verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That's interesting that the original language uses the word reasoned. That's really all we have in that moment of time when you're trying to process things that happened, is to reason it out, to try to put all these things in order. You know, why did this happen? Why is he gone now? And they are going to be introduced once again to the word that they've been taught, but the Lord is going to bring it all together in an understandable fashion. Notice this, please. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Oh, now we see something else is added to the story. They're talking back and forth, and Jesus says, you're sad. They were heartbroken. They were crushed at the events that happened. Their Lord was dead as far as they were concerned. Jesus, the one who had taught and instructed them, was dead. And they're trying to process all that, and they were visibly shaken. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Mighty in what? Two things are mentioned. Deed and word. If you want to sum up the ministry of Jesus Christ that's in the Gospels, it's those two things. He gave his word and he accomplished great deeds that verified that he was the promised Messiah. And they said he was mighty in deed and in word. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and a certain woman also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. So they have some knowledge, but they don't have complete knowledge. They may have stolen the body. Somebody may have come and stolen the body. The body's not there, but the wrappings are there. Incomplete understanding. They're trying to process it all. Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, how would you like to have this said to you while you're walking along the road talking? O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now that wouldn't win most preachers' candidate in a church. If they stood up there and said, oh, fools, you should have listened to the word of God that was given to you. But Jesus is God. Jesus is the risen Lord, and Jesus had repeated over and over and over again that he would die, that he would be buried for 3 days, this temple, as he said. 5 times in the Gospels he said that to his disciples. All right? And he says to them, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe. And then there's that important word. What is it? What's that important word that's stuck in there? It only has 3 letters, but it's big. All. And here's the thing, Christian. There are many people in churches all across America that believe some of the Bible. They may believe a lot of the Bible, but they don't believe all of the Bible. Now, this is not an oversimplification, because These are the words of Jesus to two disciples that had heard the messages from Christ Himself, and they were still processing what had happened. They just don't understand what had happened. Now, we are all just like these two disciples. We profess things that are not true in reality. We profess things to be true when they're not. Sadly, we try to give impressions to people that may not be true about our life. There are things that we as believers in Christ need to fess up before our Lord. And we need to constantly go to the Lord each and every day as we open His Word. Lord, help me to believe all Your Word. All Your Word. Everything that You have to say. Help me to understand and believe it all. Because we always come, and this is our downfall many times, with our opinions. And sometimes our opinions rise above the statements of Scripture. And that's where we get into serious trouble. My opinion should always be formed by this book, not brought to this book. You see the difference? My opinion should be formed from this book, not my opinions brought in, and I think it means this over here, instead of the simple statements of what God said. Jesus had very simply declared to them that this temple will be destroyed and in 3 days it'll be built. And they were thinking about the building, all right? They were thinking about the building, the temple. He was talking about Himself. He was on a spiritual plane. And He did it 5 times and they still didn't get it. So the Lord, as the great rabbi teacher, says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? What a question! The Old Testament prophets have prophesied this. Isaiah 52 and 53. Psalm 22. Go down through all the different passages that we find in the Old Testament. Very beginning of the Bible. All right? Genesis 3:15. All right? He will crush His head, but He will bruise His heel. Well, there's a clear indication something's going to happen in the future. One's going to be destroyed, the other's going to survive, and we know who the one that's going to survive is. It's Jesus Christ. The pictures are given to us throughout, and He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. Took them back to Moses, took them back to the prophets, and He expounded on them, He explained to them what the Old Testament prophets had said about Him and His purpose in coming. Now notice this, verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were open. Now here we have a metaphor. What did He give to them? He took bread, and fed them, and their eyes were opened. What else took place? And they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, here we're back at conference time again. Remember how this all began? They're walking down the road. They're talking about all the events of what has taken place over the last 3 days. Jesus appears, explains to them the Scriptures from Moses to the prophets, helping them to understand about Himself. He reveals Himself after He breaks the bread. He vanishes, and they're back to conference time. But something's changed. And this is so important. Christian, so important. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he did what? Opened to us the scriptures. There was something that they sensed being in his presence as he spoke to them the Word of God, as the Word of God. Their hearts were burning within them. They were coming to grips with truth they had not come to grips with before. That Jesus should come and should die on the cross and shed his precious blood. That Jesus should be resurrected again. They were trying to process that through the intellect. They reasoned among themselves, but they were missing something. They were missing the presence of Christ and his understanding. And this is the same thing for us. We possess a Bible. Now, they possessed the Old Testament scriptures, and they were very familiar with them, but they didn't fully understand them. We have the Bible before us, and there are so many things that we're familiar with, but there are still some things we still don't understand and grasp. There is something new every morning about this book. As the Spirit of God teaches us, there's something always new and fresh that gives life to your soul and to my soul. And this is what we're talking about here. As Jesus faced Satan and the temptation, he took the living Word of God and confronted Satan with it. When he was with the disciples, these are sympathetic individuals. They love him. These are not haters of Jesus. They love him. They're sincerely broken because he's gone, they think. And yet he was right before them. They didn't realize. And what does Jesus do? He takes and he breaks the bread of the Word of God and takes them through Moses and the prophets, and he shows himself in the Word. And they say, their response, did not our hearts burn within us as he explained to us the Scriptures? Folks, I'm not saying that you're going to have some kind of physical burning in your heart that every time you open the Bible. But I want to tell you something. There's something to be said for the light that the Holy Spirit of God gives concerning Jesus Christ when you open the book. When you're reading the Old Testament scriptures, you go to a book like Esther. Not one time is the name of God used in the book of Esther. But his providence and sovereignty are on every verse of Scripture as you read through that. When you go through the Psalms, you see all these beautiful pictures of Christ everywhere. You go to any book of the Bible and you can see Jesus Christ there. He is the thread that goes through there. And that gives life to us. It's food and drink. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10. You shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. Pasture. What is pasture for? For a sheep. It's food. In the Word of God, we can go in and we can go out and we find fresh food every single day. That's why if you're skipping. Skipping. Bible sits on the dash of the car, gets pulled out on Wednesday and Sunday. There's a lot of people that live that way. The Bible never gets taken inside, sits up there, the edges are all sun-curled. Because this book is not really living food. It's not manna from heaven. It's just something that we open up on Sunday and we say amen really loud. And yeah, that's good, brother. Hey, preach it, yeah. But it really doesn't have a connection with the soul. Man shall not live by bread alone. You can't make it. You need, I need, every single day,
the word which comes from God Himself. And that's what we've been given. I am so thankful. I thank God every day that I was born in Milton, Florida, of all places. There's a lot of people that say, I wish I hadn't been born in Milton. You know, how come I couldn't be born in New York City? Okay. Remember that Pace Picante sauce commercial they used to have? Yeah. Their Picante sauce was from New York City. And they kicked him out of the thing. You know, they wanted the good stuff from Texas. But the point is this. God, by His infinite grace and mercy, allowed me to be born in a very young Christian family. My dad had just come to faith in Jesus Christ. After listening to broadcasts that he was putting on the local radio station here in town of Dayton Hobbs preaching. And my dad started listening. And he came to faith in Jesus Christ. My mom had been saved just a few years before she met my dad at a revival meeting up the road here. And I forget what it used to be called. It was Stewart Street Baptist Church at one time. Before that, it was another name. And Brother Fred Kelly had an evangelist come in. And my mom was a teenager. She was 15 years old. She went there and she went to all the different services just down the street from their house. Came to faith in Jesus Christ. And then God allows me to come into that young Christian home who gets connected with a church that has just started a Christian school 2 years before I'm born. And I get to grow up in it. I have as precious memory climbing the steps at Baghdad, going upstairs to, and I said this before at Sunday school, I think it was, of going to Mrs. Hall's Sunday school class. I couldn't have been more than three. Going into her class and singing the songs and hearing the Bible stories. That was God's grace in Todd Brainerd's life. I was exposed from the time I was born to this book. This book right here. It hasn't changed in 62 years. It hasn't changed in thousands of years because Jesus Christ never changes. But there are people that come to the Word and they have their own agendas and their own opinions about what it says and what it doesn't say. I don't believe it actually says that. I believe it. I thought, well, wait a minute. Is your opinion based upon the Word or is your opinion based upon something you read in another book about the Bible? Because I want to tell you, there are a lot of books out there, Christian, you ought not to be reading. Because they're filled with error. They're filled with error. This book is not filled with error. And you've got the greatest expositor of all, the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to encourage you. Think about those two disciples. They wanted to know. They reasoned the best they could in their own minds, but they came up with the wrong conclusion. And it was Jesus that came up with the right conclusion, and all He used was this right here. Things they had already heard before, but never put them together in the person of Jesus Christ. And there are things in this book, Christian, tonight that you may have not put together yet. Things that you don't understand or maybe you don't know yet. But don't let that keep you from this book. Get in there and start studying. Yes, studying. Not just reading. Studying the Bible. Connecting dots. I had a person tell me the other day. They were talking about how that they had been to a Bible study. And the Bible teacher was going to study Revelation. And he said, I went to them and told them, said, don't study Revelation. There's nothing in there for me. That's what he said. There was nothing in that book for me. Now, what is setting the standard in that person's mind and thinking? Me. There's nothing that I can learn and grow by in the book of Revelation. Somehow in his mind, he's formed the opinion that that is a useless, worthless book. When it's not, it begins. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how it begins. Why is it? And somebody in his life, along the way, was chirping that. Okay? Chirping that. You don't spend time on the prophecy books. They don't mean anything to your Christian life. That's a lie of the devil. The devil doesn't want you to know about the future because the future is sealed for him. And the book of Revelation reveals all the details of that. There's not one book of the Bible that's not important to your soul. Does everybody understand that? Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's funny you say that, you know, 27% of the Bible is prophecy.
Yes.
And if he would have read that book, he would understand it's the only book in the Bible that has two blessings if you read it in the front and in the back.
Absolutely. Yeah. But in his mind, as he was talking to me, I said, that's one of the most blessed books in the Bible. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ, and he reveals himself there in his second coming and the destruction of evil and the casting of hell and Satan and death into the lake of fire. You know, but that doesn't fit me. I need to know how I need to be living right this moment. I need answers to this, that, and the other. Well, we all do. But you know what I found in the study of God's Word? That God can give me answers in the most unlikely places in His Word. How, you think about Ruth for just a moment. Think about Ruth, and I'll close with this. Here's a young woman who's lost her husband. All she has left is Naomi. Okay? Would you put over her life uncertainty? But she made a connection. Not necessarily with Naomi, but with Naomi's God that changed everything. And so she says, I am not going to turn back to my people in Moab. I want to follow you, and your God is going to be my God. I'm not going to follow my gods anymore. She made a choice. And you know what God started doing? Revealing things to her about what her life was going to be like. She was going to get married again. She didn't call Farmers Only online dating service. I don't even know what it's called. What is it? Farmers? There's something.
Enough.
What?
That's close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough. They've got this Farmers dating service now online where you can find what. Didn't do that. God just started unveiling. And her hap was to come on Boaz's field. It makes it sound like it was just, you know, happenstance. But it wasn't. It was the unfolding of God's plan for her because she had connected with Naomi's God. And Naomi's God connected with Ruth, and he became Ruth's God, and God unfolded everything, and she becomes part of the line of Messiah. She didn't know any of that. But God revealed it little by little throughout the book, 4 chapters long. And the beauty of Revelation is seen there. She didn't have to do all the things that she didn't have to go to a support group. She didn't have to go to this book and go to the bookstore and buy 16 books on how to determine the will of God. She just sought the face of God and God took care of her. There's simplicity in the Word, Christian. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to that. We're buying and swallowing a lot of stuff. Oh, you got to do this. You can't just understand the Bible on your own. You got to get this book. This book will help you. No, no, no. We have the Spirit. The Spirit of God teaches us. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually understood and discerned through the Spirit. Father in heaven, I thank you for your Word. Life is found in the Word. The bread and the water of life is found in the Word. So thankful for Jesus Christ written, the revelation of Christ in the written Word. I pray that you would encourage us tonight. It's so easy to get sidetracked and start intellectually looking at things and using the world's philosophies to try to attack the problems of life, and we always end up short because they're not sufficient. We need the supernatural understanding that comes through the Holy Spirit of God to understand the Word, whereby we can grow, we can have your plan for our life unfolded. It's such a beautiful thing. And I pray that you would encourage us in that regard, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.